I have you notes. Don't normally do that. But last Sunday I shared something that was even new to me. Just the association that God's grace has given to us to really produce in us the ability to do what's good. And He makes grace to abound to us so that goodness can flow out of us. And it was new to me in a way, even though I shared it. So I went home listening to myself and did what the Bereans did. I got out the scriptures and I went to search to make sure that this is true and accurate. And I looked up every single word, every place in the scripture that goodness or doing good, and primarily focusing on the New Testament at this time. Just to show you, this is a response that any of us can do. If you hear a word and there's something you want greater understanding in it, you can search the scriptures. There are wonderful programs out there to help you look up a particular word and get a deeper understanding of a truth that may be new to you, or to refresh a wonderful truth that perhaps you haven't been thinking about for some time. So we're going to go right through this together so I can show you kind of part of what I was feasting on most of this week. And I didn't write all the scriptures. The only thing I've really done is I've taken them and put them some together, because there's well over 100 just in the New Testament. So I didn't choose all of them. And I just put them together in a way that I thought we would work through it together. But as an example to show that any of you who, when you want to know a truth in the scripture, you can search it out.
Amen.
You can search it out in this way. So let's start right here. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for a purpose. We're created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So do you see in that verse? We're not saved by good works. We're saved by grace, but we're created in Christ to do good works. That's why we're created in Christ, to do good works. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. You see, God is creating in you a new person. And this is a process. Remember, God chose to make the earth and the world in 6 days. He could have done it in one day, but He chose for it to happen in stages. And He is now creating in us. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has gone. And remember what I said last week? God doesn't want anything good to pass away. So what old needs to pass away? Anything evil, anything wrong, anything harmful in us needs to pass away so that all things can become new, the new creation in Christ Jesus. So God is creating His own goodness in us. God is good. And since He is good, He can share Himself with us. And by Him sharing His own life, He's creating His own goodness in us. Philippians 1:6, it says this is what He's doing. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. He'll carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So this word good comes from the Greek word agathos. There's actually another word, kalos, that's also translated good. But kalos has the idea of beautiful in form, attractive. Agathos has this meaning. It's that which is inherently good. And it describes what originates from God and is empowered by Him in our life through faith. So it is the goodness of God, the power of His life being imparted to us through the Holy Spirit as we believe. Isaiah 61, we mentioned this at the end of last week's message. Here's a promise. God is willing to give us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, for those who are mourning over their sins, basically. And why does He do this? In order that we might be made a tree of righteousness that the Lord Himself has planted, so that He might be glorified. Now, if God is going to make you and I a tree of righteousness that He plants, what kind of fruit is going to grow on that tree? The fruit of righteousness. A tree of righteousness produces the fruit of righteousness. Amen. God's righteousness empowered in us through faith. Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 and 35, our Lord said this: make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree will be recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, speaking to the Jewish leaders at the time, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Now, these are the words of Jesus. Jesus says, a good man brings forth good things out of the good stored up in him. You and I may ask, because we've been taught, or maybe we've read the book of Romans, and we're wondering, wait a minute, I thought that there's no one who's good. Well, Jesus knows the scripture. Jesus knows the truth. And if He's not afraid to say there is a good man, neither should we. Because if there is a good man, we can know he's been made good by God.
Amen.
Right? We know that. We can read between the lines here. Romans chapter 7. We know it's not in ourselves, outside of Christ. Paul describing the struggle with a man in the law who had not found that power in Christ yet, said, for I know that good itself does not dwell in me. I'm not the source of goodness. There's no inerrant goodness and innate goodness in me. That is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what's good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me. And many of us have not really come to understand this. The reason we do things that we do not want to do is the law of sin in our members. And only Christ can set us free from that. So this is our state before we come to live in Christ. But in Christ Jesus, like Paul said, who shall save me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, there's no condemnation for them. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. So before we come to Christ, that's just there was no good thing dwells on our flesh. But in Christ Jesus, God's own life and goodness come to dwell in us through the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And God begins to make a new creation. Old things begin to pass away and all things become new. And those new things, what do you think characterizes those new things? The goodness of God is what characterizes the new creation. Hebrews chapter 13, 21. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may He equip you with everything good for doing His will. How are we able to do good? Because God Himself will equip us with everything good so that we can do His will. And he says, he goes on, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ. So through the power of Christ living in us, God can work in our lives what pleases him. He can create things that's pleasing for him to see. Just like, remember what he said after many of the days of creation, and God saw what he had made, and what did he say? It is good. When God works in us, brothers and sisters, he is pleased by what he sees because it's his work, and his work is good. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 was one of our verses from last week. And God is able to bless you abundantly. Actually, the translation should be, God is able to make all grace to abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, what's the result of having all grace abound to us? So that at all times, in all things, having all we need, what's the result? We abound unto every good work. All kinds of good work gets done in our lives and through our lives because of the grace that he makes abound to us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 16 and 17. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage you and strengthen you in every good work and word. God will strengthen us to do every good work and word. And when I use the word work in these notes, it's the Greek word ergon. It should be work. It is. It's in some of your translations, you might see the word deed, but it is from the Greek word is ergon. It's work. Colossians 1, 9 and 10. You should be on the back of the first page. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, please him in every way, and be bearing fruit in every good work. This is Paul's prayer for the Colossians. It is my prayer for this congregation that all of us would be bearing fruit in every good work, because God is at work in us. And we will be growing in the knowledge of God. Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Here's what Paul told Titus. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, and to be ready, or to be prepared to do whatever is good. Every one of us should be on tap, ready to go, doing exactly what is good when we have our opportunity to do it. Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. Your neighbor, your enemy, the mean guy, every person here, the one that you're not comfortable around, you do good. The one that treats you bad, you do good. You do good to everybody, and that's the only thing you should do. You do what's good regardless of what they do. You do good to all people, and especially the household of faith. Okay? Romans 15:2. Each of us should please our neighbor for their good, to build them up. We shouldn't be complaining about what our neighbor does not do good for us. It's the other way around. We are the ones who will be equipped by God to do what's good for them. Romans 16:19. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you, but I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil. Now, what would be overcome by evil look like? You know what being overcome by evil would look like? You do evil back. That would be overcome. They do evil to you, you put it right back at them. They're bad to you, you bad to them. You teach them a thing or two. That's doing evil. That's being overcome by evil. We are to overcome evil with good. That means when someone does evil to us, we respond with good. We do what's good. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. It's pretty clear, isn't it? Pretty clear. Ephesians 4:29. And remember, before I read this verse, remember, if any man considers himself religious and does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. So this is something we need to pay very careful attention to. Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome word proceed forth out of your mouth. Only what is good for building others up according to their needs, and that it may minister grace or that it may benefit those who listen. That probably means when you're frustrated with someone, you should keep your mouth shut. If you don't have anything good to say, say nothing at all. There's a song, "Quiet Please, Too Much Has Already Been Said." Just let it be and learn to listen instead. For sometimes in the silence, great problems become small. If you don't have anything good to say, say nothing at all. Have you heard the latest rumor? It's all over town. Or did you try to build up or did you tear down? Things, secrets that were shared were meant to be kept. Don't say things in a crowd that later you'll regret. Quiet, please. Too much has already been said. Just let it be and learn to listen instead. For sometimes in the silence, great problems become small. If you don't have anything good to say, say nothing at all. Song by, I think, Twyla Paris or Kelly Willard. A beautiful Christian song, if you can find that on the radio. Paul's instructions, I don't have the reference there because it's in most of his letters, Ephesians and Colossians, when he's talking about different places, those who are in a position of being a servant or a slave, and those wives. For servants, here's what he tells the servants to do. Do good, and do it all the time. Not just when the master's eyes are watching you. You do good all the time. And you know what he tells the wives? He tells the older women, and older women, hear me. He says, tell the older women to train the younger women to love their husband, to love their children, to be keepers at home, and to be good. Isn't that something? Train women to be good. And you know why he says this? So that the word of God will not be blasphemed, spoken against. And it is. When Christian conduct is ugly, the word of God is maligned. It affects the testimony, our Christian witness. 1 Peter 2:15. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the foolish talk of ignorant men. God just wants you to do what's good. Don't get in an argument. Do what's good. James says this, who's wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the gentleness of wisdom. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn away from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Did you catch that? Do you want the eyes of the Lord to be upon you? Then do what's good, and his eyes will be upon you. Remember the priest's blessing? May the Lord lift up his face upon you, and be gracious to you and grant you peace. The way to experience that is do what is good and his eyes will be upon you, because he'll be able to see what's pleasing in his sight and he'll pay very close attention to you. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Love must be sincere. Abhor what is evil. Cling like glue to what is good. Cling to what is good, whatever is good. Okay, now let's look again at what our Lord himself had to say about doing good. We'll start in Luke 6, right there at the bottom of page 2. But you who are listening to what I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. And if someone slaps you on the one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. What do you want others to do to you, basically? We want others to do what is good to us. You see it? Do good to others. That's what this list is. Prayer is good for others. Turning the other cheek rather than striking back. That's good for others. Praying for others. That's good. Giving, they want your coat, give them your shirt. That's good. In other words, whatever is done to you, your response is to do good. These are the teachings of Christ. Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine if our world would live this way? It would be so, so incredible. He goes on. For if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Lend to your enemies? That's interesting. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the unmerciful and the ungrateful. If God is kind to the unmerciful and the ungrateful, and we are His children, how does He expect us to be to the unmerciful and the ungrateful? Kind. Good. That's how He expects us to be, so that we can be children of our Father in heaven. Because you know what? He causes His Son to rise upon the evil and the good. Jesus is saying there are good people. And they're the people His Father has made. They're His brothers and sisters. So, it is in our doing good that God is glorified before the eyes of men. I don't know if you've understood the difference in focus. Your pastor often focuses not upon our standing with God. God has given us repentance. God has given us mercy. God has forgiven us our sins, so that before Him, we are as Christ. We are righteous in His sight. That's a focus between men standing and God. I like the focus of how does God stand before the eyes of men? And the way that God is glorified before the eyes of men is through our actions. That's why this is such a concern to me. So that His name will be glorified before men watching our lives. That's been my focus. You probably figured that out. It probably will be to my dying day. I've had 30 years of men focusing on our standing before God. And so many stand behind pulpits and tell the people over and over again, you're okay with God. You're okay with God. You're okay with God. He loves you just like you are. Oh, I know you're constant failing, but you're okay. When are we going? We've had enough of that. It's time that our lives bring honor to Him. So that's my focus. It's my passion. You can tell probably. And so it was the same with the Lord Jesus. Matthew 5, 14 and 15. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone who comes into the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. It's as men see your good works, they glorify your Father in heaven. That's when they glorify Him. Not when you tell them, well, I'm accepted just like I am before God. He loves me just the way I am. That's not bringing Him glory when they see you messing up. What brings Him glory is for them to see His power in you producing goodness. That brings Him glory before them. 1 Peter 2:12. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Do you see the correlation? God is glorified by them watching our good works. That is so scriptural. That's not earning our salvation. That is living out the purpose of our salvation. We were saved by grace. It's a gift. It's not by works. We are His workmanship, a creation in Christ Jesus for the purpose of doing good works that bring Him glory. That's how these two fit together like hand and glove. We're to glorify God by the good works that are in actuality. What these are the fruit of righteousness that God is producing in us as we abide in Christ. And we are to be known by our fruits. Bad trees cannot produce good fruit. And good trees will not produce bad fruit. So God's grace makes us new creations. And He makes new creations out of old lives, our old man. And He makes good men out of evil men. Yes, we were all evil, but God's grace not only forgives us, He transforms us and He makes us new creations that are good like He is. Filled with His Spirit. These new creations become good men who bring forth good fruit out of the good that they are treasuring up in themselves. That's what I was doing this week. I was treasuring all these verses, just storing them up, looking at them again, over and over again, storing them up. And then I just had yesterday afternoon and this evening and this morning, I had to see how they'd come out. How will they come out? You know, if you store them up, brothers and sisters, God will bring them out in a way that blesses others. But our part is to store them up, treasure them up. Okay? The parable of the sower, right there at the middle of page 3. The parable of the sower. You remember what Jesus said? That the good seed the seed that fell on the good soil? He says, but the seed on the good soil stands for those who with a noble and good heart hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. So this person begins to bear fruit in every good work. How? Through receiving the word, believing, and abiding. And this is the person who is glorifying the Father by bearing much good fruit through good works. The good fruit is the good works that God is producing in our lives. Now, I noticed something. Right near the bottom of page 3, not all men and women who are caught up in the gospel of Jesus are good. So they just say, there's a net. We're throwing out a net. And when that net, Jesus told the parable of the fish, right? It catches fish of all kinds and it's drug them up on the shore. And you know what? A lot of you, here you are. All kinds of people. Do we have a mixture? Yes. Could some be here and not be good? Does this net bring in good and bad? Yeah, it does. That's what Jesus said. And in the end, when He comes, He's going to send His angels out. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to go through groups like this. And they're going to say, this one was not good. This one was good. This one was not good. This one was good. And you can count on it, brothers and sisters. I don't care what your theology is. That is going to happen. He's going to take the evil out of the midst of the righteous. Remember the parable of the weeds and the tares? The farmer sowed good seed in his field, and while they were sleeping, an enemy came and sowed wheat. They were right in the middle of what God had sown. And God said, leave it. Leave it till the end. At the end, we'll separate. The tares will be bundled up and thrown into the fire to be burned, and then the good wheat will be taken and stored in barns. So we deal with a mixture now. Keep that in mind. How can you tell whether you're the evil or the good? I'll tell you this. Sitting in these pews does not make you good. Listening to me does not make you good. Saying amen does not make you good. Claiming you believe the Bible does not make you good. There's going to be an evidence. There is criteria. There is a way to know whether you're the evil or the good. We're headed there. That's the parable of the dragnet. Last page. Page 4. The parable of the wedding feast. You remember this parable? This was the one where the king was throwing a great wedding banquet for his son, and he sent his servant out to invite those who had been to tell those who had been invited to come to the feast. And remember, the whole first group that had been invited, none of them wanted to come. So, and they mistreated his servant, and the king was furious. He sent out his army to destroy those first people. And he said, none of those people are going to get anything from this banquet. And he sent his servants out, and he says, go out to the outer regions and find anyone you can and compel them to come in. So that's where the scripture takes up here in Matthew 22. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. See, there's that parable again. There's that mixture, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. And he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend? Friend is the same word that Jesus said to Judas. Same Greek word. Friend, you betray your master with a kiss. It's not philos. It's not the real intimate friend, the regular Greek word. This is a particular word that you say to someone, oh yeah, you're acting like my friend, huh? Some friend you are. It has that tone to it. Friend, how'd you get in here without wedding clothes, friend? The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That describes the agony that will come upon those who are thrown out. And when God is setting up the new heaven and a new earth, he's throwing out the evil. He's throwing out the bad. That's what he's doing, so that he can set up a new heaven and new earth. And for everyone who gets thrown out, it's going to be horrible. That's what you can know. At the judgment, all men will receive what is coming to them according to what they have done. That is all throughout the scripture. Search the scripture. At the judgment, all men will receive according to what they have done. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. So we're going to be judged for what we have done while we are in this body, whether it's good or bad. And did you know that judgment, that decision determines whether we'll be raised to eternal life or raised to condemnation? What if you did not know these were the words of the Lord Jesus? Since it's in John chapter 5, 28, 29, most of you will know these are the words of Jesus. But what if I just said, well, I just believe that those who have done good are going to rise to eternal life, and those who have done bad, they're going to rise to be condemned. You might think I believe that it's works that earn salvation. But these are the words of the Lord Jesus. Listen to them. Do not be amazed at this. For a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live. Those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. So who do you think those who have done good are? Those are the ones that are the new creations in Christ Jesus. They're the handiwork of God, a creation to do good works, to glorify God. And they're the ones They're going to be judged for the good works that they've done. And they're going to be raised to life and judged accordingly. Now, it's interesting. Take note of this statement, and I want you to test it. And, you know, when I write things like this, you have me. Test it out. Search it out. We are not saved by our works, but we will be judged according to them. Test that out. Look for it and see if that's in the scripture. I can assure you that it is. But some people's theology have a difficult time with that. But search it out. When you read the passages about judgment, you will see that men are going to be judged according to what they have done. I don't fear that. You know why? I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. And by the power of Christ Jesus in me and the Holy Spirit, I'm constantly doing what's good. And that's evidence of the new life of Christ in me. So I'm not afraid. Let the Lord give me. He has done such a work in those who know Him that they will receive according to the work they've done through Him. We're not saved by our works, but we will be judged according to them. Both of them equally true statements in Scripture. And to know this for sure, let's look at this passage, Romans chapter 2, 5 through 10. Look at it very carefully with me. But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when His righteous judgment will be revealed. God will repay each person according to his works. To those who by persistence in good works seek glory, honor, and incorruptibility or immortality, He will give eternal life. Let's read that again. To those who by persistence in doing good works seek glory, honor, and immortality, He will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking, who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. And then he says it again. That's an often Jewish people do that. The book of Proverbs. How many are familiar with the book of Proverbs? It almost says the same thing twice. Paul is a Jew. So very faithful to his Jewish ways, he repeats the same truth again. There will be trouble and distress for every human being working evil. First for the Jew and then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone working the good. First for the Jew and then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. He will judge according to our works. Now, back to that. One of the verses that we already had on earlier on one of our pages. This is why this is so important for us. And let this become our prayer for one another. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will. Now can you see why it's so important to be equipped to do His will? Because God equips those that He is making a new creation. And if you're not being equipped to do His will, you're going to be one of the bad thrown out at the end. Even if you happen to get caught up in the net of some church somewhere, that's not going to save you because you were on some church roll. You're only going to be saved if you show evidence that God has made you a new creation in Christ Jesus under the good works that He prepared in advance for us to walk in. That's the evidence that you're a genuine son and daughter of God. If God has begun a good work in us, He will complete it. And this is how we know for sure that we truly know God. And John, the Apostle John, who wrote the Gospel of John, the Revelation, and the three letters of John, he has a way of just cutting it straight. Some might say just being blunt. Here's what he bluntly says. Dear friend, Do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Pretty clear. So how do you know that you really know God? By His grace abounding to you and I, enabling us to do what's good. You see it? Now you have these to study. You can look them over. And it's just the New Testament, except for in 1 Peter 3, it's a quote, I believe, of Psalms 34, but most of this is just all in the New Testament. But there's a whole lot more, even in the Old Testament, to confirm this. So I just wanted us to have this as a people. And I wanted, this is an example of a study that you yourselves can do and study and search these things out. I don't know necessarily what your past or what you've been led to believe. But you need to understand that grace is more than just a legal band-aid that's like your pardon to keep you out of hell. It's not your paper that you hold on to and say, I believe in Jesus, so I'm not going to hell. No. Sorry. God is going to send many people who have that waving net in His face sort of straight to hell. The evidence that you genuinely have grace is the power of God working in you to do what's good. And if you don't have that power, you don't yet know the Lord. You know about Him. You don't know Him. If you know Him as a born again son or daughter of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, He supplies the power to do what's good. See it? All right.